Okay, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be reading, I'll be reading, you'll be following along, verses 18 through 25. Over the next 3 weeks, as Christmas is approaching, we'll be talking about preparing our hearts for Emmanuel. Okay, so you see there in your notes, according to the Bible, our heart, if we're preparing our heart is the treasure chest of our lives. Our heart is the treasure chest of our lives. It's the central storage place of all the truths that we have believed and accepted that we put into our heart. And it's out of that place, our heart, of which Jesus says our words and our thoughts and our actions flow out of the place that we've collected truths. Some of those truths are lies, and we've embraced them as truths. And so we got some lies in our heart, and out of those lies come words, thoughts, and actions that are unholy against God and should not be. That's why our God is a God who transplants hearts. My mentor has been teaching me about the heart being the treasure chest of our lives. And the more you spend evaluating the things you hold dearest to you, the truths that you place in your heart, and letting God purify those things, the more we will become like Christ. So we're talking about preparing our hearts, preparing that place out of which everything else flows in our lives, preparing it for Emmanuel during the season. What does Emmanuel mean? It literally means God with us. God with us. The purpose over the next 3 weeks as we journey through these scriptures, preparing our hearts for Christmas, is we want to take this time to intentionally prepare our hearts to understand and retrieve and receive the truth of Jesus, God coming to be with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. Like we've already said this morning, we were separated from God. We could not be with Him. We could not have Him. And Jesus came to be God with us. The point is not just to keep Jesus as the reason for the season. The purpose is that we want to understand that Jesus came to save us from death, establish a spiritual kingdom that we are responsible to advance on the earth, and one day soon He will be returning to judge the world and reign as King forever. Amen? All right, we're here this morning to prepare our hearts for Emmanuel. Why? Because He saves us. Because He's mandated for us to further His kingdom. And because He's returning as a judge. And we're going to help be held accountable and responsible for what we did with Him and how we lived our lives. So today, in our journey to prepare our hearts for Emmanuel, we're looking at the greatest announcement ever made. That's my opinion. In the scriptures, the greatest announcement ever made. So follow along as we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Hallelujah. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In my opinion, the greatest announcement ever made on the earth You're going to have a wife that's going to have a son. And his name is going to be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Before we get into the meat of that verse, in verse 18 and verse 20, the scripture says that Jesus, the child in Mary, was conceived by or through the Holy Spirit. As I was just meditating on this passage throughout the week, I was challenged with this, and I want to challenge this, make this challenge to you as well. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, wants to birth in each of us completely, humanly impossible things for the glory of God and His purposes. In the same way that the Holy Spirit was the one who empowered the conception of Jesus in this regular woman, Mary, in the same way, there is a plan for your life, for what you feel like is humanly impossible to be accomplished for the glory of God, to be birthed in you, but it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit in your obedience to God. So the question is, are you surrendered to the person of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is the Holy Spirit able to move and work in you to accomplish the plans of God? Are you willing and available for God to do supernatural and humanly impossible things in your life? Or are you just settled for the things that you can see and experience right now in your life? That's a valid question. Are you willing to experience the supernatural through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? All right. So to the meat in verse 21, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I'm going to back up. Back to the Holy Spirit for a second. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you and will give life to your mortal bodies. And we need to understand that the same Holy Spirit who can take the dead, cold, stiff body of our Lord Jesus after 3 days and bring him back to life and glory dwells in us. And there is nothing he cannot bring back to life in you and I. There is nothing that he cannot not accomplish in us. And I just feel like we have experienced a powerless gospel and life in Christ because maybe there's not a full understanding that what Jesus did provided that the very Spirit and power of God lives in me. Jesus said he will be with you and he will live in you forever. So it's time for us to come into agreement with that and say, Holy Spirit, what impossible thing do you want to bring back to life in me? What impossible thing in the world do you want to do in us? All right, you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You have in your notes there, I want to bring attention to these three underlined words in verse 21. The first being Jesus, of course. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, actually, which is pronounced Yeshua, is what Jesus would have been called in Aramaic Hebrew, the language that he spoke in the time that he was on the earth. And the word or name Yeshua means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. It means Savior, capital S, and Deliverer, capital D. Jesus means the very name given to him, defined and prophesied his purpose. Jehovah God saves He is Savior and He is Deliverer. To our knowledge, to my knowledge, this was the very first time that the name Jesus or Yeshua was ever spoken out loud on the earth as a reference to the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. So all I want to do is just take a moment right now to imagine the reaction of heaven and hell to this unimaginably powerful name being released on the earth for eternity. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, for thousands and thousands of years at this point, Satan has schemed and devised to hurt God in the greatest way he could, to take his children and tempt them and draw them away from God, to bring them to a place where they rebelled from God and were separated from him. So for thousands and thousands of years, Satan's been scheming and plotting for us to be completely separated from God. We've bought it hook, line, and sinker. The sacrifices of the cows and the goats aren't working anymore. We're destined to be separated from God. And God sends a messenger to the earth. And for thousands of years, prophets have been whispering about a Messiah. One that's coming. I love it. Isaiah chapter 9. And those who are walking in the darkness will see a great light. And the rod of their oppressor will be crushed. These prophecies. But Jesus has never come to the forefront. He's never been made visible to the world. So there's two realities in this world, a spiritual and a physical. The Bible says that the spiritual is the greater reality because it's eternal, and what you're sitting on, seeing, worshiping in now is temporary. So there's a spiritual kingdom at work thousands of years with a destiny to destroy God's plan. And then he sends this angel. And I just was meditating on this. There's all this going on in the spiritual kingdom for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years. And the Bible says that the angels peek in to see. They're wondering. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1. They want to see what God is doing on the earth. And all of heaven is waiting to see how God's going to take care of this enslavement of his children by death. And this angel says, and we hear it all the time, this name Jesus, but for the first time into the earth, and he says, and you will give him the name Jesus. And in that moment, every year, I just dwell on this as it comes Christmas time. In that moment, can you imagine what shuddering was done throughout all the demonic ranks? At the mention, the knowledge, the bringing to the forefront, the name Jesus, the gates of hell will never be closed again. They will never lock in anyone in that name. Every demon becomes powerless under that name. Every fear becomes powerless under that name. Every lie becomes powerless under that name. Every sin, bondage, addict, and addiction becomes powerless in that name. And when it was spoken, all heaven and earth was changed for the course of eternity by the name Yeshua. And you'll give him this name, Jesus. I gotta ask you the same question I asked myself this week. When did the name Jesus cease to rock our world? When did we lose the awe of the deliverer? When did we become okay for that name to be used in slang in our entertainment? This name is everything. It's above every name. And I just think it's in this season when we're preparing our hearts for Emmanuel, maybe we can take some time this week and just meditate and remember who Jesus is to us, what he's done, what he is doing, and what he will do. All right. Love this. So Jesus came to save. Number two, I just love this word save. I didn't know this for so many years, and I've just enjoyed over the last 5 or so years that studying out this word was taught about it. So the word save, when Jesus came to save us, it comes from this Greek word sozo, which is amazing. And these are the definitions of the word save when it was spoken by the announcement of God through the angel. It means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to prosper, to make whole. When the angel of the Lord said, and you're going to give birth to a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save. His name, this person, will deliver all his people. It will protect all his people. It will heal all his people. It will make them whole. It will do them well. It will prosper them in God's purposes and kingdom. And I have got to change my thinking that when Jesus saves us, it's so much more than fire insurance and a ticket out of hell. It is a lifestyle of deliverance and protection and prosperity in his kingdom. It's a lifestyle of healing and wholeness and being made the fullness of God. That's so powerful. The birth announcement of Jesus points us straight to the cross. He came to save us from hell, set us free from current bondage, protect us from the harassment of Satan, heal our hearts and our bodies, and to make us completely whole. Hallelujah. My wife and kids were doing cinnamon applesauce ornaments. Have you ever done those? Smell great. Don't try to eat them. All right. It's like, it turns into like Play-Doh. You stamp out things, then you bake them, let them dry, and they turn these ornaments. And Jill was telling me at the end of the day when I got home, you know, we were doing the ornaments today, and we have this big Tupperware box of cookie cutters that the kids play with Play-Doh all the time, or all different kinds of things. And they were tasked, all right, go into the cookie cutter box and pick out all the ornaments that represent Christmas. We want all the Christmas ornaments out. So they were picking out, you know, the Christmas tree, the candy cane, the Santa hat, you know, all those things that you pick out. And Jill was telling me that Kara picked out the cross, and she said, oh, wait, this isn't Christmas. The cross isn't about Christmas. And Jill just got to stop, have a teaching moment, explain to them, that's what Christmas is all about. It's all the cross. The prophecies of Jesus were about the cross. The shepherds singing were about the cross. No room in the inn was pointing toward the cross. The manger, the kings, the gifts were all toward the cross. He saves. He has saved. He is saving. He will save, deliver, protect, preserve, heal, make whole, and prosper. What an announcement. Let's not lose the wonder of salvation. Number three, preparing our hearts. Jesus came to save from what? From sin. From sin. Comes from the Greek word hamatarno, which means to miss the mark. It's an archery term, if you've heard that before. To miss the mark and not share in the prize. You see, when I was studying this word out this week, I've heard that sin means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. I've heard that. And when I was studying this out, the definition is actually literally to miss the mark and not receive the prize. And that is exactly where we are in the place of sin. That is exactly where we are apart from Jesus. He came to save us from our sin. We've missed the mark. God said, this is the standard, holiness. Holiness, blamelessness. Who may dwell in the house of the Lord? He who is blameless. That's the standard. As it says in here, the good news is not that our sin has been overlooked. That is, and the blank is, impossible. It is impossible for sin to be overlooked. Your sin, my sin, the ugly sin of the world, it will never be overlooked. Ever. It will never be dismissed. God will never turn a blind eye. No, the gospel is that there was one named Jesus, and he came and he became our sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And he died on the cross and he bore, the fill in the blank is, the full wrath of God. Why was the beating so vicious? Why was the crucifixion so horrendous? Why did they yank his beard out and spit on his face and drive nails into his flesh? Because the wrath of God was poured out on Jesse Tunnell's sin, and it had to be fierce. And it had to be ugly, because great is my sin. And it cannot be overlooked. It must be justified. It must be paid for. You know, I love this message that I heard at IHOP a couple of years ago from one of the ladies there that was abused, sexually abused as a child by her missionary pastor over and over. And she said, the church needs to stop explaining the gospel that grace is forgiveness and overlooking of sin and realize that God is a just God, and this is the gospel. Either the sin of every man and woman in this room will come under the blood of Jesus and receive the wrath of God and be forgiven, or it will be justly judged for all eternity. That's the gospel. That's the reality of the cross. Who here wants to suffer the brunt of their sin in the just judgment of God for eternity? He came to save us from our sins, from our death penalty, from our entanglement in the grave. This announcement is so amazing because it declares that the one has come who will actually deliver us from the bondage and consequence of sin. Jesus will become our sin and satisfy the wrath of God on the cross so that we may be both forgiven and clean. So important. All right, so in light of this announcement, what does that mean to our lives? I just simply want to close with application, as you see on the bottom of your notes. You know, there is this great indictment against the church today that we're all about entertainment and fluff, and no one is being changed. No one is becoming more like Jesus. That will not be so of the gathering in Jesus' name, right? And by His grace, we will be people who are changed by the power of God. We will say yes to Him. We will be obedient. We will look different this time next year. Yes? In your personal life and in our corporate life, we will be more like Jesus this time next year, because we don't come to church to be sung to and hear messages. We come to church to encounter God and be eternally changed. Changed. The grace of God is that He can change us. So how do you apply this today? Do you believe this announcement from this angel? Do you believe that Jesus has come to save you from your sins? Have you repented and allowed Jesus to save you and make you clean? If there is anyone in this room today that has never said, I come back to you, God. I repent. I turn away from my own sin, the things I love, the things that pleasure me, and I'm turning to you. Forgive me. Forgive me and save me. Please do not leave today. Like I said, you do not want to be in the hands of a just God outside the blood of Jesus. That's the reality of Scripture. So please take that opportunity. Randy, would you make your way and you guys just play? We're going to respond. Secondly, maybe if you need to come back into wonder and awe at the name of Jesus today, maybe as Randy leads us in music, maybe you just need to take a moment to reflect on Jesus, to come back into the wonder of that name. Maybe today God wants to birth in you something new and humanly impossible in you through the Holy Spirit. And you just need to simply ask God, what is it? What do you want to do next in me? How do you want to demonstrate your power and your love through me? If you ask him that question and are quiet and still enough to listen, he will answer. In your life right now, what do you need to be healed and or delivered from today? cry out to God right now. He will meet you there. Jesus still delivers. So as Randy plays, I'm just going to ask you to stand, if you would please, unless the Lord feels you do otherwise, then of course, feel free to...